When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. Now, here's your hosts, B. Cox and the crew.
Greetings and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Vault Podcast, classic music reviews, presented by IV Creative. It's a perspective of the classics from a fresh point of view. We appreciate you for taking your time and lending your ears to our perspective. You could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're right here with us, so we thank you. With you today is yours truly, B. Cox, and we're here at the end, y'all. It's the end of season 6. This is the season finale, and I have a very special guest in the house to help me wrap things up for season 6. Thank you all once again out there for continuing to rock with the Vault Classic Music Reviews Podcast. It's been a very up and down season for us, inconsistent sometimes in some of the ways that we post, but y'all have been rocking with us, no doubt. Ever since then, always from the beginning, making sure you're showing us love on social media, dropping the likes, dropping some comments as well, also on the YouTube channel. Make sure you're going to vaultclassicpod.com. Go there. You can go and check out all of our past catalog, all the past episodes. You can go to our guest page, check out to see what we have to say about our guests who are on there, who have been featured on the show, and also the merchandise. Make sure you're going to get the merch, hat, t-shirts, sweatshirts, as well as sweatsuits. Anything with tumblers, iPhone cases, stickers, all that, we got it there. VaultClassicPod.com. Make sure you're going and checking it out right there on the website. You could also get to all of our social media pages right there from VaultClassicPod.com. As we always like to say here on the Vault, our motto is hashtag open the vault, hashtag nothing but the classics and MBTC. And today, we are joined once again by family of the show. Featured on the Bone Creeping on a Come Up episode. Of course, you know him well, his platform very, very well. On MacTastic TV, you've seen, of course, the guard chats with Matt, Purple Panties, Queen's Court. We are talking about none other than himself, the man, the myth, the legend, growing by leaps and bounds in these YouTube streets like no content creator out there. It's my brother, Mac. What's going on, sir? Welcome back to the Vault.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me back. I always say you the best damn intro I've ever had in my life. We're going on the road together.
Yes, sir.
Man, I had so much fun on that last episode with the Bone Creeper on the Come Up.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed your platform. I love the feedback that I got from doing the episode with you.
Yeah.
And, man, you already know my sentiments towards you and what you've meant for my platform as well and our ongoing continued series, man, of State of Hip Hop, past, present, and future.
Yes,
and
sir.
It will be dropping. Yeah. Part one does drop Friday,
people. It drops this Friday. Make sure y'all go and check it out. So those of y'all who don't know, man, Mac's channel has been on a climb this year, getting those subscriber numbers up. I've been seeing you, bro. Those views have been up.
Thank you.
You know, when that happens, things start happening. People start knowing you, but the algorithm starts picking you up.
Yeah.
Things start happening. So make sure y'all are going to MacTastic TV on YouTube to check out all the clips. Not just the clips from our upcoming State of Hip Hop, past, present, and future, but from everything that Mac has. And it's very, very entertaining, no matter what it is that you're into. And I'll just go ahead and I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. But make sure y'all tapped in with my brother though, man. Go check out his page and make sure that you're subscribing as well. And also turn on those notifications because I got my notifications turned on. And the way Mac be working, my notifications on YouTube go off 3-4 times a day. And if you're grinding out here in the streets, it's what it needs to look like. It needs to look like that. I need to get like that. But
thank you, brother.
We're here to wrap up season 6 with another album to close this season out, and we're here in the years of 1994, 1999, and 2004. And it was only proper that I had Mac come here to wrap up this season with me because we're about to cover somebody right here from his own hometown of the Chi.
Yes, sir.
And so we're going to go back 30 years ago, and we're going to go to June 28th, 1994, the debut studio album of none other than the B.R.A.T. Brat Funkified. Recorded between 1993 and 1994 on So-So Def, Columbia, and Sony Music with a runtime of 31 minutes and 19 seconds. The producer on this, the one and only, the incomparable, none other than J.D. Jermaine Dupri himself. 9 tracks here on Funkified featuring artists such as Candy Burris, Latasha Scott from Escape, JD himself, Mac Daddy from Criss Cross, and YT from the Native Tongues Movement. 30 years later on So Def Records, right here during this time where So Def was really in the pocket when JD got things first moving down in Atlanta and started this record label and started it really by getting things kicked off by signing a group that we saw of these two little kids called Criss Cross, you know, which at my age, when I was coming up, those guys were my age, you know what I'm saying? And wow. So that made it exciting for me. The next year you see him pull this singing group out, a group, young ladies called Escape, that blew the charts up with a couple of tracks that they had on their debut album, Humming Coming At You. His production chops were on display there. As a promoter, he was on display there, but the one thing he didn't have was So Def, he didn't have a rap act. As we go into the history of how the Brat got to Jermaine Dupri and So Def, while she was in the Shy, rapping as an indie underground rapper, she won a indie rap battle or rap contest where the prize was that they actually got to meet Criss Cross, the group. And so Criss Cross as a group was so impressed by her and her rap skills that they went to JD and said, yo, this girl rapping up here in the Shy, she hard. You need to go grab her, man. You need to grab her and sign her now. And JD at first was a little skeptical. He was like, you know, he didn't want to sign a female rapper. He did not want to sign a female rapper. And so he was like, well, let me at least go ahead and figure out what it is they want me to see about her. And being as though that, one, he wanted to see about her, and then she was persistent, she ended up finding a way to get a tape of hers to him in Atlanta. And when he asked her, how did you end up getting this here? She said, well, I can't say much about that. Just put it in. If you like it, then come holla at me. He listened to what he listened to, and at that point, the rest, as they say, was history. She was signed to So Def, put out this debut album, and at first he was like, listen, female rappers, usually if they're lucky, they go gold, but that's even if they're a group. Salt and Pepper went platinum, but they weren't an anomaly out there. Majority of female rappers you've seen out there, we've seen the Queen Latifahs, we saw the Moni Loves, we saw the MC Lights, the Roxanne Shantays, the Lady of Rages, the Bosses, all come through, and all of them, the best that they could do was be certified gold. But none of them were going platinum. Well, you fast forward after this album comes out, a couple of hit records, So Def blowing up as a movement and a record label, this album goes platinum. She becomes the first solo MC to go platinum, which is crazy in history within itself. But
that's a fact.
Seeing how that this has now transpired over 30 years, and it has been a career of the Brats that has been up and down, but the one thing that nobody has been able to dispute is the fact that she is skilled on the mic. And when you talk about the greatest female of MCs of all time, I feel like she gets left out of a lot of people's top tens when I believe she is firmly listed in there just based off of talent alone, you know? Just based off of talent alone, brother Matt.
Yeah, man, because I couldn't agree more, man. Let me just kind of rewind back and let's kind of talk about, let me take y'all to the Shy in 94.
Okay.
Let me set the table for y'all for the city.
There we go. That's why you here.
And who wouldn't know? The guys in 94 in Chicago, that was the gangbanging apex era for us. Like the 90s was just truly, you from the trenches. I'm from the South Side. The Brats from the West Side. And, you know, you guys all understand in certain cities, D.C., hey, cats from the North Side might not mess with cats. It just goes like that. It's I don't know why we're so damn tribal like that, but we just are as people. It's just, that's another conversation for another day. Yeah. But when the Brat came out, and all we heard was, hey, you know she from the Shy, right? That right there will bring everybody together. She from the Shy. What part? She from the West Side. And everybody was like, she from the West Side? Yeah. Well, she hard, though. She representing the Shy. And when she came out, man, really the Brat was played a huge part in kind of creating the unity within us as far as having that Chicago pride, because she was the third. I want to say you had Twista break out first and get him a national deal.
Yeah.
We all, me and B Cox, hey, if you ain't heard about me and B Cox in Common, we got busy.
Yeah.
Go check out my channel. We got busy talking about Common and his contributions. He was two. But really, who went the biggest first?
Yeah.
Was the Brat.
Was the Brat.
Believe it or not, the Brat went the biggest. She went platinum first out the city, man. And she brought a lot of notoriety to us. Yeah. And so in 94, it was a very contentious, tough time there, man. And and we didn't have, hip hop ain't been really, wasn't really favorable and nice to us in the Shy. You know, not on it from a national recognition. We were known for the wrong shit. Killing, yeah. Shooting, gangbanging, yeah. Making yeah. money, yeah, yeah, pimping. Yeah. God damn. Oh,
a lot of shit. A lot of things were out there. Yeah.
A lot of things. A lot of nefarious activities I really yeah. don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of. But in the midst of that, we're a very soulful city. And then we do yeah. have us. We had a strong underground scene. So Peacock's in 94. She really set the summer up for us, bro. Yeah. Chicago was proud, bro, just to yeah. kind of bring that full circle to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I remember telling you, I went to Chicago in the summer of 95 because my sister was out there for grad school, man, medical school. And nice. That's the one thing I could remember is that this album came out in the beginning of the summer of 94. By the time I got there in the middle of the summer of 95, she was still getting airplay on Chicago yeah. radio stations big time. Yeah. You know,
WGCI.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes,
100%.
Sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. 107.5. Yes,
yeah.
sir.
Yeah. So she was in airplay heavy back then. I can remember that being that time I was 13, man. So wow. it really was something else, man. But of course, we had to talk about the album. So we'll go ahead and get into it.
First thoughts and reflections.
So, Brother Mac, I leave it to you. Your first thoughts as a Chi-Town native listening to the Bratz Funkified album, just maybe those first couple of singles, obviously that's going to be the first thing everybody talks about. But when you got a little bit deeper into a content, man, what did you think about it, man? And what impression has it led to you now 30 years later?
Man, first impression of it, I was like, so we'll talk about the singles and, you know, and you know, all of that later, man. But honestly, I was blown away because, again, it was a female artist that was rapping hard as hell. Mm-hmm. And she was talking that shit that a Chicago nigga talks that relates to, like a nigga from the Shy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she rapping harder than some of you niggas I hear in the cypher, you know what I'm saying, at the corner store.
Yeah.
And just to hear her, man, and the whole album. Here's the thing. I thought it was a marriage made in heaven for a lot of reasons. She got with JD. JD was a perfect person to bring her out. And JD didn't have this ultra hard persona. You know what? He had the latitude to do R&B. He had just brought out Criss Cross year before, to your point, Peacock. So she actually landed in the perfect spot, man. I thought he was a perfect producer to bring her out that wouldn't detract from her image, mm-hmm. but wouldn't add anything else to it. Just let her be her and accentuate who she was. And the Bratz lyrics, man, you just heard so much of that hardcore, gritty shit that we like, man. But
yeah.
he was still a woman about it, though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Funkified captured me from day one, man. I mean, I the whole damn album, man. But we'll get to the whole album.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, man, seeing that first video of that single, Funkified, when it came out. First of all, number one, it was soulful. You know what I'm saying? That, and it was another one of those ways that you can listen to that Between the Sheets sample, which to me, I haven't seen anybody do it as cleverly as that, taking that portion of that sample from Between the Sheets and make it into a song like that. It was impressive to me the fact that she was rapping hard, right? But
yes, sir.
The one thing that I loved, and listening to the rest of the album, those two singles you listened to and the way they were presented on video and on the radio was a departure of what the rest of the album sounds like. Here's the genius, as you said, of what she did and also what JD did.
Mm-hmm.
I think she sort of understood that in order for her to make it to the point where she was going to separate herself from gold to platinum, was that she had to have some sort of appeal that would make people want to keep listening to her. So that meant maybe changing it up a little bit to what she was a little bit used to, but not straying too far away from it. And the genius of JD was being able to produce for someone like that when you've been known for producing things that are lighter hip hop, you know, mm-hmm. R&B based. And you're dealing with mm-hmm. someone who obviously at this point is a hardcore hip hop artist, not necessarily in terms of content, like the way we talk about like NWA and we just heard Bone, but someone that is hardcore as far as like they straight up hip hop. They ain't no, you're not going to get no mixing in no genres with her. She's not. No, this is a hip hop artist, an MC that you're dealing with. But correct. JD did it with the fact that he knew how to be able to produce her by using a lot of these funk records. And we, mind you, we're right in the midst of on the back end of G-Funk and its reign in hip hop, starting like mm-hmm. in 1990, 91, and then mm-hmm. ending up where we're in the midst of, we got Warren Funk's Regulate G-Funk era, you know, being released, that he's capitalizing on the popularity of that so many of us are being reintroduced to a lot of these soul and funk records from the 70s that G-Funk helped introduce us to of my generation. He was able to do that and then put a sheen on it to make it soulful and funky, but also fun to listen to, right? So you get these two singles coming out of the break, you got the radio, but then the rest of it can be made of, all right, This is who she is. And the good thing about Jermaine was he didn't try to change her into something that she wasn't. He wasn't going to try to make her something that she was not. He knew that she had a pocket and she was going to fit in that pocket. And that's where she was going to excel and where she was going to cook. So you hear those two singles. For those of us who are out there, the Sheen is on it. That looks good and it sounds good. The rest of the album is something that if you were hip-hop head, you listening to it, oh yeah, you're going to like a whole lot that's right there too. So that's what appealed to me even 30 years afterwards listening to it though.
Because to add to that, man, you know, let's not forget and just being a guy, I mean, a brat was attractive.
Yeah.
So you also, you know, yeah, she had the tomboyish thing.
Yeah.
But shit, blind eyes could see that the girl was good looking.
She
was
good looking, yeah.
She's good looking. So you like, then niggas start saying, nigga, what's underneath all of that?
Yo, oh,
nigga,
yeah.
Nigga. So she had this reverse sex appeal that you wouldn't really be thinking, but because really she's a very pretty woman.
Absolutely.
But you knew she was covering herself up. Mm. So then dudes are stuck in between the bars and trying to see what's underneath them clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And before you know it, you just entranced with the brat. So I thought again, man, JD made it. Man, that was brilliant the way he marketed her and put her out. I just wanted to add that, my brother.
Yeah, no, definitely. You 100% right about that, man. You know, a lot of us saw that when she re-went her image change a few years later and she turned on the sex appeal. And then we all really like, kind of saw
damn.
We don't what we have been imagining for, you know, quite some time, you know, yeah, man, that was really, man, the thing about it. And the fact that those singles blew up on the radio so big and JD knew when he needed to release that album, what singles he needed to release and when he needed to release them, you know, because Funk the Five drops right before the summer in 94 when Give It To You comes out, that single drops. The remix version of that, because that's not the same version you hear still on the heard on the radio and saw on the video. That version is not the same that's on the album. When that joint dropped, it dropped right before the summer of 95. So that whole thing of making sure you capitalize it on when you put your people out, what you're putting out when, that's a skill that cannot be bought, you know, because you got to be able to capture the moment. And
yes, sir.
That was the difference between her staying in the neighborhood of gold to moving up to the neighborhood of platinum. So, yeah, man. So, and now 30 years later, man, we look at it. Look at how many female MCs are now going platinum nowadays. Look at how many followed after her. The Little Kims, the Foxy Browns, you know, the Trinas, the Ann's, the Mia Mix. The Cardis, the Megs, they all, the Nickys, like they all followed. And like she helped to break down a important barrier because, to be honest, man, being stuck around in gold territory, if you were lucky as a female rapper, I mean, that would be a success, man. But it was just like, nah. Give me all the millions. Give me that certified million platinum certification from the Recording Industry of America, please.
Highlights and lowlights.
So, Matt, I'll turn it over to you for your highlights and the lowlights you have for Funkified at all, man. Let us know what you got.
Man, honestly, it was it. I really don't have any lowlights, mostly highlights, man, to be honest with you. I actually, of course, Funkified, we talked about the single, man, but, you know, for all of y'all, it's one of my favorites. I like, you know, I like that for all of y'all.
Yeah.
Come and get some, ain't no thing. You know what? It really, 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 man, is a smooth flowing album. I don't have any lowlights, to be honest with you. JD made good music, man.
Yeah.
First of all, JD's production is always on point.
Yeah.
You know, we just lauded and spoke ad nauseum about the Brad and her lyrical ability.
Yeah.
I don't have any lowlights, man. I just have the highlights. Like I said, Funkified, for all of y'all, I like Fire Her Up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, it's almost like picking between my favorite kids, man. And I don't, you know, and I can't.
You can't
because I always tell my kids, my favorite child is my next one.
There you go. So good answer.
So that means, hey, so they ain't nobody favorite then. So I'm going to have to say, sir, highlights, man, again, Funkified came out great. But again, if you ask me to pick between Funkified and for all of y'all, I can't pick.
Yeah.
And just the whole body of work, Speedcox, no lowlights, all highlights, my brother, for me.
So I will have to say this. I agree with you on that. It's only 9 tracks, and this is a runtime of literally within a half an hour. This is a car ride to work, if that, you know. And so we talked about Funkified. For all of y'all, got to agree with you on that, man. But a couple of other tracks that I was in love with, man, was May the Funk Be With You. You know.
Don't get me started on coming straight from the... All right, be quiet. Go ahead.
Yeah, May the Funk Be With You, man.
Yes, sir.
When we talk about that, man, that damn bass line on Mind Blowing. craziness. I mean, you want to talk about some riding type music. And that's really the theme to me for this entire album. Come and get some. Same thing that you said. Ain't No Thing with YT. Nice little touch on there with the reggae thing. Everybody was doing that in 94, man. Eni Kamosi, Mad Lion, Lil Vicious. So this, like, that crossover between hip-hop and reggae was really starting to get at its peak during that time. But when you listen to this whole album, man, the soundtrack of the production of those funk beats that literally, to me, had, like, that touch of that West Coast G-Funk influence with a little bit of ATL and you know, influence to it, with a little bit of Chicago into it as well. And so hearing that, I said, man, I forgot listening to this after all these years of how much of a riding album this is, right? I know you used to see those old movies you would watch, Menace to Society, Boys from the Hood, you know, South Central. Dudes would be in the hoop ride, man. They were like 66 Cutlass Supreme, you know, 79 Lack, you know, DeVille, where they riding around and they listen to some Al Green or listen to some Shy Lights or listening to some of the Whispers.
Talk
and
to me,
this shit here to me reminds me of something where somebody today would be listening to if they was going looking to ride around, wanting to ride on some busters. You know what I'm saying? Looking for a drive-by. That type of scene is what I get in my mind listening to this music. I'm like, damn, man, they blended everything that was perfect production-wise about G-Funk, what Jermaine brought with his flavor from ATL, what the Brat had from the Shy, and sampling those records and choosing those records in particularly to be able to make up the production with some banging-ass beats that really is something great to ride to. Then you put the Brat's rhymes to it, and you got a match, like you said, a match made in heaven. And she's hard on there, man. Like you said, she was on there rapping harder than a lot of some of these niggas that we would know probably in cyphers, man. She was after there getting to it. So when you get that, you take that Marriage alongside of them beats with that production, and it gets you an album, man, that is short, sweet, to the point, and gets you something that satisfies your appetite and gets you out of there. Quick, fast, and in a hurry, man. But all those tracks on there, that's the name. Not really any lowlights. I'm looking at it. The only somewhat low light on there that I would say, definitely shout out to Chris Cross and, of course, Mac Daddy. Rest in peace to him. You know, he died almost a decade ago now, looking at it, man. But, you know, I wasn't a big fan of his verse on Come and Get Some. And not only that, but their voices had changed in between that first run that they had and in between that first album and that second album. When that second album, they came back, they was fully grown, almost, you know, teenagers, you know what I'm saying, where they had gone through puberty, voices had changed, image had changed, and everything. Yeah. So, but that wasn't too much of it to be like, I'm gonna knock this album down a notch because I don't really like that joint. Personally, I wasn't too big of a fan of it, but, you know, it wasn't that much of a big of a deal. But production, man, bars, everything on there, the song sequence and everything, just expertly done by JD. I got to give him props for doing that. And props to her for that pen, man, because there was a lot of times I'm sitting there listening to some things, and it's like, damn, in 1994, how many female rappers you know was rapping like this, you know? None. As hard with those bars and as hard as she was rapping, you know?
Facts.
Maybe one that I'm thinking about at that time, Rage, and that was it. You know what I'm saying? And that was it.
That is true, because it's kind of reminiscent of Rage a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Rage with the rock, rough, and stuff, yeah, with the Afro puffs. Yeah. Rock on. That's kind of, it do kind of give that hardcore Rage vibe. You
know? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah, man.
That's a fact. That's
yeah.
A
fact.
Notable quotables.
So I'll turn it over to you, Mac, man, for a notable quotable or two you want to pull out from Funkify, man. What you got?
Man, I got to, first of all, man, I wasn't going to let you steal my thunder because you went and made a funk be with you. And that line right there is what set the city on fire, man. When she said, man, you know, I'm coming back from the 60644. Guys, that's the west side of Chicago. I'm from the 60620. That's the first time we had ever heard one of our zip codes freaking, you know, shout it out.
Yeah.
But later in that same line, she said, the city of the shots where I'm from, the third motherfucker to drop the bomb. And just to say that, man, you know, to say, hey, Chicago is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And, hey, I'm a third person to drop the bomb. Like I told you, with the aforementioned other two, Twista, Common, and she was number three. And she was the biggest one, man. So I would just say in that whole first 30 seconds, Chicago was lit on fire, man, with somebody one shouting out zip codes.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the audacity to let it be known you're from the city of the Shy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Peacocks.
I hear you.
Hey, Yeah. We fell out, dog. We fell out. The whole goddamn city went crazy, brother.
I bet, man. That sounds like, listen, man, whenever you able to shout out, you hear your zip code, your area code, a street, a neighborhood, a region, a county, some anything like that you hear, it's like, yo, that when you put us on, that makes all of us feel proud. You know what I'm saying? It makes all of us feel proud. So I can only imagine, man, hearing that for the first time. And especially those people, folks from the West Side. You know what I'm saying? That.
Oh.
I could only imagine.
Let me add some more context, because the West Side has always tended to be the forgotten part of the city. So they kind of, a lot of them have that little, like, hey, we feel like the stepchild of this city. I mean, you think of Chicago, you always go to South Side.
Yeah, South Side.
You like the South Side.
Yeah.
You know, that's where all the gangsters and all the Al Capone and the notorious Larry Hoover and all them from the South. But the West Side has cultures just as rich.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the South Side gets all of the attention. Like, you know, so for the West Side to have her come out and really shout out their zip code, man, hey, it really, you know, lit a fire under them as well, man. Shout out to the West Side.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out to the West Side, man. My quotable comes from Mind Blowing. It comes from the very last verse, the third verse. And it's just a couple of lines where she says, "It's why I take you with my fantastic tactics, exotic like gymnastics and harder than mathematics. I obliviate the mind, leaving you in the daze for days. Fucked up by the ways I play shit. Complicated but basic. I ain't nothing to fuck with, and you got to face it. You can't trace it because ain't no outline. You can't outrhyme. You can't route yours like I route mine." Yeah, craziness, man. Again, we talk about the pen and the ability to be able to go toe-to-toe with so many different other people. The Brat shows that here just on this, man. And when she featured on tracks with people afterwards, oh, she was getting on tracks and featuring after this album and shitting on people on their features. 100%. Just listen to Ladies Night. Bringing it every single time. Every single time.
Final verdict.
So here we are, Mac. Final verdict for Funkified. What say you on this album, man? Debut by the Brat. Is it classic? Is it essential? Is it dope, good, or just okay?
Because it's hard to call it a classic, because classics don't get forgotten and classics continue to get replayed. It is for damn sure. But you can't go no lower than essential because it went platinum. Mm-hmm. So it was essential for her career. It was essential for the careers of the women that came behind her. It was essential for JD, So Death. Mm-hmm. So I have to say essential. Classic would be hard because, again, classic albums, man, they get mentioned. And this one, for some, unfortunately, doesn't get mentioned as much as it should. So for me, I'm going to go with a very essential album, man, but I can't make it. I can't quite go classic. I would like to, but I'm not going to be a homer.
And
say a classic just because she's from the Shy. But classics albums get mentioned and revered, and this one doesn't, but it is so essential, man, for the culture, for Chicago, for her and JD and So Death.
Yeah. Impact and the culture for Chicago is essential for me. Quality wise, it's at teetering right between essential and dope. And that's where I'll put it. And the reason being is that this is an album, like you said, to your point, they don't necessarily get forgotten. I feel like this album gets forgotten a little bit amongst albums, not just in 1994, but from female MCs. A lot of people will look at some of her later work, Another Tantrum, Unrestricted, you know, and sort of port to those a little bit more. But, man, this is the one that kind of started it all. There's not lowlights here on here that you can point to where it's not like it's a body of work that has any drawbacks or flaws. But I do feel like that it kind of loses a little bit of its luster when it's thrown up against albums that will come afterwards. So now you also got to look at what comes out in the next couple of years after the Brat's Funkified comes out. You have Hardcore by Lil' Kim. You have Il Nah Nah by Foxy Brown. A couple of years afterwards, you get the introduction of rappers like Mia X. Trina comes onto the scene. You start to see Left Eye start to emerge a little bit more on some features. Mm-hmm. So there are things that come around, and eventually, then the Brat's album doesn't necessarily is deemed as that important after a while. And that to me is a shame, right? I don't want people to forget about this. I think it is essential as far as what it meant to the culture, the impact-wise, no doubt. It's definitely essential, but the content-wise, I'm sort of in between essential and dope. So I'm going to go ahead and make a determination and just say it's essential right now. It's an essential album. Like you said, the first female MC to go platinum, and for it to be an album of that type of quality is matters too, right? Because it could have been a platinum female selling MC, and it could have been an album of some bullshit content, you know, and not really worth for nothing, but it was. It really was a good, solid, quality album, a great riding album, well-produced album, and an album chock full of some damn bars, man, where you felt the energy that she was giving on that album that was set up basically her run for the next several different years. Now, had it not been for a couple of runs in jail, you know, she probably could have kept some things going, but now it's 30 years later. I mean, she's still relevant. Lots of respects, man. Obviously, we know that her and her partner had a baby and everything else. You know, she's been through a lot of different things, but she's definitely recognized by a lot of people. I feel like I would like to see her get recognized more up there with the Latifahs, the MC Lights, the Yo-Yos, you know, as being those ones who were the ones who really pioneered the start of the game from the 80s into the 90s, a female MC that really kind of took her weight and threw it around, man, and proved herself amongst the elite in her cohort, really. So there we are, man, the Brat Funkified 1994. Make sure y'all go check it out. 30 years old this past week it turned. Make sure y'all hit us up on social media. Let us know what you think about it. Do you like the album? What do you remember from it? What are some of your favorite songs, the sleeper tracks, and what do you say about what me and Max say? Is it an essential album? Do you think that it's a classic, or is it just dope? Let us know if you agree. Hit us up on social media. Y'all know exactly what to do. And here we are as we wrap it up. We are here as we're wrapping up the season finale of season 6. Wow. We, of course, have to stop and say thank you and much appreciation to our brother Mac from MacTastic TV for joining us here and giving us the perspective on the Brat that somebody from the Shot could. And, of course, brother, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for having us on your platform, man. As we always like to do before we close things down, especially on the season finale, we want to give you a chance to shout out your platform, let people know what it is that they can find you, let us know what kind of things you got coming up, and of course, man, if there's something we need to be looking out for, man, let us know that too.
Okay, man, I appreciate that. Before I talk about myself, I just want to, man, again, give you your cigars, man, for what you are and what you represent to the culture. You're a music historian. I've always called you a music maven and a, you know, hip-hop savant, and the world's starting to catch on. People are starting to comment and be like, this guy's brilliant. So, hey, I just want to tell you, man, your fans, your supporters, you guys have something special with B-Cox. You know, consider yourself blessed for this man to do this and make us all look at music in a different way. This man breaks music down in albums. It's bar and second to none. I've never seen anything like it, and I probably won't ever. So that's my cigars and kudos to you, my brother. Honored to be here. Now, as far as the Smacktastic TV, we got some more hot shit coming. As a matter of fact, let's just get into it. This Friday, per a request from fans asking me, can you please wait to drop B-Cox and Max of State of Hip Hop, past, present, and future? Hey, this is the third iteration, but part one. It's a two-part series to this third installment. Fourth will be coming soon. You know, a little spoiler alert. The fourth is coming soon. Yeah. But we have that dropping Friday, and then part two of it will, you know, it'll ensue later on in July. At the latest, maybe early August, we have that. I have a weekly show, Purple Panties, that's been doing well. See, it's an interesting panel where we have it's supposed to be about a lot of different topics. You know, we talk mainly dating and, you know, relationships. Mm-hmm. So, hey, if you're into that type of thing,
yeah.
And me and the lovely ladies, stop by. Man, we're open to everybody. Mm. Basically, my hands are full with Purple Panties. Me and B-Cox setting the world on fire with this series we got. So I'm trying to just keep it distilled down to the things that people really want from the channel. And myself and him and Purple Panties is what they really craving. So
yes, sir,
that's what we got coming on. And again, guys, you guys can find me at MacTastic TV as it phonetically as it sounds. MacTastic TV.
There
and
you go.
All my channels.
There you go.
All my handles is that.
You heard the man. Go ahead. Get on it. IG, YouTube. Hit him up. Sir. Follow, subscribe. I'm telling you, this brother has great content. He has engaging content, by the way. Not stuff out there for shock value. He has good quality, engaging content. So make sure y'all go follow Brother Mac, man. Subscribe to his channels follow him. Make sure that you support him, man. The brother's out here making waves and trying to tell y'all, man, this time next year, y'all are going to be wishing that you jumped on the train earlier and not say that you had a late pass. So please make sure you're on it and you're on it now. So
you're on it now, because when you see me and B-Cox on some major national platform talking about what we talk about.
Yes, sir.
Just know.
Yes, sir.
Damn, I should have got down word, because, man, me and this brother, it's just get started for what we about to do, y'all.
There you go. Brother Mac, thank you again, as always, sir. Thank you for helping us wrap up season 6 with a bang.
God, my pleasure.
And that is going to wrap up yet another edition of The Vault. Please make sure you are visiting us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com. There you can learn more about the show, check out our past episodes, join our mailing list, leave a review, or if so inclined, you can leave us a voice note. Click the blue microphone in the bottom right-hand corner to leave us a voice note to let us know what you think about the show or to just show us some love. To support the show, click the coffee cup shaded in yellow in the bottom left-hand corner to access our Buy Me a Coffee page. On Buy Me a Coffee, you can give a small monetary donation to support the show to ensure that we can keep the vault open for many years to come. You can also visit us on social media at Vault Classic Pod on IG, Twitter, and on TikTok. Also hit us on YouTube and our Facebook page. Like and follow us on social media. Subscribe to the pod and the YouTube channel. We do it here all for you. We appreciate the support. And if you have a friend, tell a friend and make sure that that friend tells a friend. Always remember to keep your headphones on and your music loud, but not too loud. And as we close, we'd like to remind everyone to dream big because dreams are the basis for creation. Always create, motivate, and elevate. Because you were never destined or created to stay stationary or ordinary in this life. And on that note, we say peace.
Thank you for listening and coming into The Vault. Please subscribe and visit us at vaultclassicpod.com. That's vaultclassicpod.com.